some Willing, Virginia right now.
We are
recording.
I have.
Welcome to Ringside, the show where the sacred and profane collide. Cheers.
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 Enjoying a nice evening, what usually is the Fort Wayne Symposia, or in January, but they
Symposia is plural for
they're all in their basements. It was actually normal for them, actually. Their collars were on, but anyhow, so... But we're going to do our own symposium. So today we've got a great podcast, a conversation, a couple guests here. Jonathan Holmes. Yes, the Jonathan Holmes.
Yes.
J-O-N, not J-O-H-N, is with us. It's probably getting old for our audience.
Probably getting old for our audience. I don't know,
man. We got new people.
We got new listeners every day.
We are going to solve all the world's problems, though, and it's going to be an hour. So you need to hook up right now. When you're done with us, you are going to feel free. You are going to feel at peace, and you're going to be okay when the government goes down on Wednesday. So let's do our introductions here. We've got Ross Engel is back with us.
Hey, everybody. Great to be here. I don't know what I usually say.
Wow.
I forgot. It's been a while.
2 weeks.
It's been so long. I don't know my tagline.
But. And we got Paul Koch.
Yeah, let's get going.
And myself, Joel Hess. Tyler, the intern.
Hey. I'm out on camera this time.
And
so.
He's a real person.
He's real.
And we got guests all the way from north of Tennessee.
Clarksville.
What do you call that? Clarksville.
Take the last train to Clarksville.
Jonathan Holmes. Our usual Fort Wayne guy, right? I think you're frequently on Fort Wayne stuff. But yeah. People think this is actually all that's going on.
Yeah.
I suppose,
yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's actually awesome. Nice surprise to have you here. So when you are listening to this and the world has not ended or the government has not been toppled, good job. You made it this far. We're going to talk about what the heck is happening here. And I'm looking forward to this week for guests, professors at some. It sounds awful, actually. What else
should
we
probably,
say?
You should probably talk towards
we
the mic.
We have four subject matter experts coming to talk to us. There we go.
You're going
to
love it. So,
in addition to the three of us who are already subject matter experts.
Subject matters. Ross, you've been away for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
this
2 weeks.
For sure. You've been with the Marines.
I've been with my Marines.
You've been on orders.
I've been on
Not
orders.
Not for your wife this time.
Not my wife's orders. I've been on Uncle Sam's orders.
And you were with them during
Sometimes
the...
Ross writes orders for himself.
I think so too.
That is how the reserves work, actually. You have to write your own orders, and then you have to submit them up the chain, and then they sign them off, and then they change stuff,
wow.
Send them back. So,
you were there. You there with them during the toppling of the United States government by one man wearing a... moose hat of some sort.
But I think it was a buffalo.
I think that was a water buffalo. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Were you there at the time?
We were not there.
Were you with Marines?
Anyway, so next
I was with Marines.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I was with Marines.
Yeah, okay. First of all, smartly, Ross, like, I was not there. But what was the behavior, the attitude, any conversation going on? You don't need to tell us. I'm sure maybe there's some...
Yeah, well, most of the conversations I have with the Marines are not probably appropriate for our Ringside listeners because they're
the
often laced with words that I think in the words of Spock from Star Trek would say colorful metaphors. Colorful metaphors.
That actually does fit into Ringside.
More than Ringside listeners?
More than Ringside listeners.
I think Ringside listeners would understand.
When I work with the Marines, they are where the profane collides with the profane. Like, boom. And it's great.
Good for you.
But, so...
spirits there, though.
So
what was that like?
We were out in the field, and they were doing their weapons training. You know, every year they got to do their weapons quals, rifles, pistols, all that. The cool thing was, I had the secret code to get onto the rifle range at the base, which was kind of cool. But, most of them were just like, most of them are the mindset, let us do our jobs, point us towards the enemy that we need to focus on, and make sure we're ready for the fight. So the hard part now is we're just not declaring who our actual enemy is. And so we've got this innocuous thing that's doing all this stuff that's, it would be a lot easier if we just said, hey, our enemy is...
What are you talking about?
Oh. What?
What do you mean? Like in general?
Yeah, like in general.
Yeah, you don't have like a Soviet Union. You don't have a...
Right.
Whatever it is.
I mean, you've got
Nazi
China.
Germany.
You've got Russia. You've got those things. Okay. But,
See? That's where I thought he was
what,
going.
What you're right. not saying,
like leaning hard in some is political
we don't
party.
Know if QAnon is our enemy or if communist China is our enemy. You're saying in general, there's no like... Even terrorism, like you're not hearing the big... is that what you're talking about? Like there's not really this... what was the last one? Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda,
and the last one was
ISIS.
ISIS, which, by the way, Donald Trump had destroyed both. Anyhow.
He did destroy both. And they're going to give it to the...
Under his watch. But, right or wrong. What? Yeah, so that's odd. There's no... you always hear about the importance of this, just like a coach with any sport, also with your commanders, is this... clearer sense of why are we doing this and who are we fighting against, right?
Yeah.
Which is most of the eight. Like growing up, I was not attracted. Like going to the military, there's really no thing that got you excited. Like there was in the 2000s, I think.
Yeah, back in the 80s, you were doing Cold War. You were, you know, the only.
Excitement.
Although the big recruiting video back in the 80s was Top Gun.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that, or I'm gonna drive a submarine and maybe
and then meet Sean Connery. Something's Ryan, don't react too well to bullets. Yeah. I guess my best Sean Connery.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Also
one
of your
church
members.
Yeah.
Of course, right.
That, yeah, yeah.
So,
Sean Connery, I think he died this year.
Yeah, he did, actually.
2020 took Bond.
Took Bond.
The real Bond.
The real Bond.
And one of the Bond girls, who also was the wife on that 70s show. Of anyhow. What, how...
Kitty was a Bond girl?
The lady that died, the 70s show, was a Bond girl originally. Yeah.
Like the kid's mom, right?
Yeah.
The one that was married to Red?
She died? Yes. No, not Red.
That neighbor.
Right?
I was thinking, no way in hell Kitty was a Bond girl.
There is a portion of our audience that does want to know the latest about that 70s show nostalgia.
Yes.
So
just watch The Ranch on Netflix. It's pretty much that 70s show.
One of them is in jail right now.
Yeah.
Anyhow. But good spirits, though. I think that's interesting, though. Yeah. So these guys
that's in jail, by the way, Tyler, is basically Joel.
That's true.
This. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hyde.
I've done nothing
he
that
is.
Put me in jail that you know of.
Does he pop
But
the
his
scholars?
Mannerisms are Joel.
All right.
Watch the show.
Right. Well, I'm not joking.
Very true.
Is that a semi show? That's the second person that's told me that.
Dude, I watched. So when I first watched The Ranch, Tim Barquette, who's been on the show before, he had watched The Ranch, and we were talking about the character Hyde. Is that his
name?
No. Yeah. What's he on The Ranch?
No,
I
can't
remember. Oh, Rooster.
Yeah, Rooster.
A rapist.
And it was Tim Barquette goes, that's Joel Hess. And I went, and then I watched another episode. I was like, holy, that is Joel Hess.
I have no curls in my...
Yeah, I know. It doesn't, I'm not saying it looks like you.
That's because you're too short.
It's the mannerisms.
All right.
Watch it.
Great work,
everybody. We're going to do a side-by-side comparison.
Pops a collar.
It's coming.
Pulls
it's coming.
Leg,
no, it's not that.
No?
Listen.
It's this
what
stuff.
I want everybody to know out there.
No, I think we need to stick with what we're talking about.
Okay.
From what Ross has said, I think it's really a big deal.
Yeah.
That our armed forces, from your perspective, are solid,
they're
level-headed
good,
people.
Yeah.
And protecting the American people are not bought into one thing or the other and are good, calm, and cool. I think it's a big freaking deal right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. They're calm, cool. They're ready. I mean, they're ready to go wherever they need to go.
Yeah.
But, you know... The hard part
where
is
the deep state tells
know,
them.
If you yeah, where the deep state wherever
no,
our lizard overlords.
These are grass fed
yeah.
young men and women.
Many of them
honest.
Know the Constitution already,
right,
so they're
right.
just hey,
they're
I'm,
bigger
that's
I think
what I'm
they're bigger
do.
Than the silliness that's going on.
Yeah.
Biden or Trump, et cetera, right?
Oh yeah.
I believe that's
oh, yeah.
the case.
Good.
Well there we are.
Cool.
That's it.
There you
I'm
go.
Guys,
so,
just relax.
Somehow we got to that through that 70s show and The Ranch.
Yep.
Anyhow. So, you know what we did? We didn't pray before this episode. That's what's
oh,
happened.
That's
the problem.
That's
why we're
prayed.
So
that's
off.
That's what's happened here.
Twice I thought it was because we all traveled today and we're just all kind of jet-lagged.
That might be, too. That might
yeah.
be. And, it could
and it's
be...
the first time we've all been together in a while.
It's been a long time. We haven't done this
not
since September.
Long, by the
you
way.
Live in this time zone. There's no way you can be jet-lagged.
September. September was the last time.
Jet-lagged from Florida.
Yeah.
So
we were all together in September when we did
think,
this.
Yeah, St. Louis, and now we're in Fort Wayne. Crazy World's going on here. Let's hit it right off. Scott Keith, one of our old and now newer authors on The Jagged Word,
did a good great friend, article good friend.
That I just read. It makes me mad because I was literally going to write something like this.
Me too!
What?
Okay. So.
Literally what I was going to write on the airport.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Cindy asked me to write an article.
I had an article planned, but I'll let you guys go ahead and do it.
Like, damn figuratively, it. That was what I was going to... Or literally. I don't know.
So he does the political animal and goes through... Of course, he's talking... It's like a conversation with Caleb. And about Aristotle, idea of Aristotle basically saying we're all political animals in that we judge everyone and see where we are in a power system. Does that make sense? Like every situation you're in, which is actually today modern psychology, family dynamics, I would suggest. Like in every group of situations, you have to figure out who's the head, the kingpin, who's not, whatever. You place yourself there.
You're the godfather.
Same thing. Yeah, every situation is a mafia situation. So his thing was going to local, right? What's your immediate community? Stop worrying about the global stuff in the gist of it. Please read it. For me, I was going to go on, like, why is my 77-year-old grandma, like, obsessed with foreign policy to Thailand? You know, like, people are way too involved in national and global politics and not, like, being men and women doing
real jobs.
Maybe
the stuff she buys
really
from the Home Shopping Network comes from Thailand.
Which, thank you. So, thoughts on that? Like, is it true? On the other hand, like, people in D.C., some 80-year-old woman from San Francisco might tell me I can't carry guns, so I should care. Does that make sense? Like, you have a little bit, like, I should care what's going on because they want to stop me from doing normal local things. At the same time, I'm tired of caring. I just want to care about my community.
Yeah.
Thoughts on this? What do you think, Paul?
I don't know. That's a. I don't see a clear path through it, but
you should care, but you don't want to care anymore.
Yeah, I've definitely done this recently, where I've like wanted to just like turn off all.
Oh, I've definitely done that. Yeah.
Social media, all that kind of stuff, and who cares? Turn off the talk radio. Turn it to something else. Just listen to music, because I just don't. A big part of me doesn't care, and and it's not that it doesn't care. It's like, so we haven't brought up Neil Postman in a while.
It's been a while.
Oh, that was the original.
Yeah,
he was.
That's bringing up somebody too that we haven't brought up in a while. So
yeah.
It's perfect.
So, but Neil Postman would talk about that, like how you would, you know, like when they first brought up. Like, when the Telegraph first started, I think it's his argument. It's like, and the first Telegraph was from, if I remember, from, like, Boston to Texas or something. And it was, essentially, it was telling about the weather in Boston. It's like, well, if you're driving around Texas, what the hell do you care about the weather in Boston?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's mm-hmm. And so it's a standard thing. Here, I mean, this is how insane it can be. I'm driving down to say, church in the morning in Ventura, California. To go to work, and I'm hearing about
which
unrest.
Which is weather-wise, pretty much the same as Fort Wayne.
Yeah, it's pretty close. And they say there's unrest, you know, in the Capitol. You know what I did? Nothing. I just went about my day. It didn't like even something that grand didn't actually at the end of the day impact my day-to-day going on. And so I think there's that confusion of that. But then what happens, I think, this is kind of what you're talking about, I think, is that the issue, though, is if we're not engaged on those larger things, because they do impact us,
yeah,
that there has to be something that we do in that level. I don't know. I think maybe it's sort of like giving a primacy to those that are within our circle. Like, these are those that we should care about and hold on to, protect, whatever. And then you sort of let the other things fall away. But when you have the opportunity to engage those things, then you need to. And it's not. And maybe it's not even just say you, like you ought to. Like you're obligated to. So like I would talk in California, where we had a church south of us, a big church who got political attention. We're fighting back against the lockdowns,
mm-hmm.
and. and it was, I would tell my members, said, listen, that's not us. We're not, like, we're taking care of each other. But when, in conversations I'd have members, I said, we are morally obligated to back him. Not because of his theology, but because we benefit from what he's doing. In other words, to make a stand politically on our rights to gather, right? Mm-hmm. We benefit from that. Therefore, we should back what he's doing. Or not even that we should. We're obligated to do that. Right. That's good. That's being a moral individual.
Yeah.
And so we should do that. It doesn't mean we have to be raising money necessarily or whatever it is. But like we should support that endeavor, even if his theology is jacked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, I told my church folks this Sunday in Bible study that we, you know, well, if we get arrested for doing church, we go peacefully and quietly, and we pray that there would be other Christians that would speak out on our behalf. And I think that's what you're talking about here. So so if this guy who's got the theology we don't agree with ends up having his church folk arrested, then you become a voice that says, hey, this is not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to stand up for that. And so, you know, it would be wrong if those folks decide, hey, when they come in to shut down their church service, they're all like shooting the cops and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Which is really what Paul's talking about when he says submission to authority.
Right.
It's not obeying everything the government says, but it's complying with the government when they come and arrest you or whatever.
Yeah, so like you stand up and you do what God says, and if you do what God says and it goes in the face of what the government says, you should expect to be arrested for that or punished for that, face punitive somethings, and you do it peacefully, receiving it, like smiley face, you know, Birmingham jail, right? And then let other people stand up and fight
now,
for you.
I didn't read Scott's article.
It was great. It was a good article.
Yet.
By the time you see this. I never tell people I haven't read something. I always tell them, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah, I'm about to read it.
I just started reading the Jagged Word recently.
There's some good stuff on there.
Everything about writing for them?
I should write for them. It's been a while.
I wonder if... That notion, though, of like being a political animal, or this idea, like we hear a lot today, at least where I'm at in California, is people will say, "Can you believe that getting a vaccine has become political?" Yes, like
yeah, I can very much
can
believe.
You
yeah,
would no you surprise believe there. That this has become yeah like every like so I don't know if he addresses that, but like everything is in that regard. Everything.
Yeah.
Right. Connected to a bigger...
It's
so when we say political, I mean global, national political.
Okay,
that's
what
I'm
but what I'm
by.
Saying is like any... Like... fourth petition, give us this...
We gotta go.
Give us this day our daily bread. I've had a few cocktails.
Oh, man, yeah.
There is a...
Fear and love God's what we... Honor our parents and their bodies.
No.
What the heck? Where are you going?
So mine's the fourth commandment, the fifth.
That's a discussion of human economy. Yeah. Yeah. And when you get to that, when you start discussing that, you're discussing politics.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's best for the nation?
Because
we should care and we should pray about it.
Politics is about
loving
it's about
neighbor.
Working
really
together.
Good.
Yeah. And so in any realm, that's gonna anytime you got a community, you got politics.
You know, it fits well with MLK Day, which we're recording right now that Monday.
Which is why
he crosses those. Which is exactly why we're celebrating MLK Day.
Yeah, for the Lutheran Church.
What's funny is...
Yeah, oh, King. Thanks, Tyler. Yeah. Thanks
for saving us. I stopped. They had a whole thing set up for
Lutheran Church.
Right.
Right.
Said it right here.
Martin Luther King. The founder of the Holy Lutheran Church?
Yes. Well, that's what every confirmand and youth will say.
Yeah.
They will. Oh, Martin Luther King? But
I
think we've really crossed this. So for a long time, I think we would have said, it's funny how it hits us in a different way. We would say, Martin Luther King, by the way, has said some great Christian gospel stuff.
Absolutely.
Really unique things that he says and brings out to it. But of course, his big thing is you see injustice, you say something, you have to say something about it, but you do it civilly and you don't do it violently.
Unlike Maxine Waters, who says if you see them out there, you get in their face and you make them uncomfortable.
It is.
You hit them and you punch them and you squeeze them and you grab them and throw them in the streets and kill them.
That could be.
She didn't quite say that much.
But isn't it interesting how we're dealing with a similar situation? Both the well, the Black Lives Matter, and they're concerned that we need to do better in the sense of policing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have what I would call the right. I hate to say that because I would hope that we're all for free speech. Yeah. But I think there's a sense of MLK with that. And as Christians, so Martin Luther King crosses the line into civic organization that usually Lutherans would say, you should speak about it, but that's for your elected officials. Have one of your members of your congregation be the leader of changing America. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luther would disagree.
Oh, and he would, because he was involved with political stuff all the time.
All the time. Like, he died because he got pneumonia while going to political things.
Peasants war?
Yeah.
Right.
No, but...
He said pastors should be the club laid next to the dog to remind them that I'll beat you with the law. And he said that's how pastors and politicians should be. You know, pastors should be next to their kings as a reminder of the law of God. You've got a job to do, and if you don't do it... I'm gonna clobber you.
Yeah, I remember reading that biography of Martin Chemnitz.
Yeah.
I think it's Chemnitz.
I think you're right.
We apologize.
If that's not true, it ought to be.
It ought to be.
That's great.
It's high or low German. It all depends.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, where he comes back from something, and
the
prince had changed things, and he like goes right to the pulpit and calls him out by name. He's calling out politicians and pays the price for it.
Yeah,
you know, major problems with that, but yeah, he's not afraid.
Their 501 tax free.
Yeah.
Right,
right.
That's the big fear now.
You know,
like,
what
you talk about politics, you can
no longer claim your housing allowance as part of your tax deduction.
All right, let's hit our next topic here. So we're running low on power, so we might suddenly disappear. Anyhow.
Got low batteries?
That's okay. That's fine, actually.
Oh. We do. Can we like a short episode of Smart Cocktails?
It's 7:22. Like we can hit this.
All right, cool.
So you know what we're going to do? We're going to do all these topics, but talk a lot faster.
You know, honestly,
I just did that in confirmation class the other day. I read like 6 chapters of Scripture. And then Samuel, they're like, oh.
Sign up for Ross's confirmation class. You have Facebook Live now, right?
I do it on Facebook Live.
Dang.
You want to get confirmed.
Wait, time out.
Middleburg, Florida.
Why does Joel know all this?
Ross Engel.
He's been getting catechized by Ross Engel.
I get it. No, this is...
Boom!
That's
the way to do it.
That's why. Can't you tell from my beats?
He gives you fashion advice.
And
you
I
give
him
theological advice.
You can't tell from my
Jesus.
Meme game. My meme game's obviously changed.
Your meme game is not Ross's.
Anyhow.
Let's do this.
Let's get off boring. Let's take Scott's advice. Let's get out of the global, the national, even though we should be involved. There's nothing wrong with saying what's wrong is wrong
and
advising. But let's talk about Jonah. So this coming Sunday, hopefully you'll be seeing this, listening to this Tuesday.
Hopefully you'll be watching us live on
and
Tuesday.
And you're watching it what?
They should live be watching currently. Us live on Tuesday.
Right now, though.
Right.
We're
Stay
live
Tuesday.
Right
tomorrow. Oh, we got more lives coming up.
Oh, yeah, shoot. We got lives all week.
Are we doing a lot of
Today's
lives?
Monday.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
All week long. All
right. So, Jonah is coming up, and I love Jonah. The number one reason is three chapters, right? Or four
three chapters?
Three
chapters is the easiest book to
you
translate.
You can just preach it. Tell the story. Jonah is a great story that I think we need to hear more than ever right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that is Christians, pastors, church, you've been told to have hope that God can convert people not like you or living different lifestyles that you think are way outside the church, blah, 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 they'll never become Christian, blah, blah, blah. Jonah's a great story for that. And and Jonah gets a little mad. He gets a little mad when God has grace on people that he's like, son of a... And he actually,
wait, this coming Sunday?
That's this Sunday's...
Yeah, this Sunday, man.
Yeah.
You might hear about
this.
You got
this, a couple days to write
You might hear about
That's
this
okay.
like Crafted Preaching, by the way, if you recognize this guy, Crafted Preaching. This is how he does.
They do the new
Crafted Preaching.
They do
just
gospel,
second.
Though.
What is the
text? He takes Mondays
you can't
off.
Be crazy.
It is Monday. I apologize.
It's my day off.
All right.
So, preaching Jonah, the whale, you get swallowed. Jonah one. Here's
the big fish. Synopsis.
Jonah's told, go tell the Ninevites that they're...
Just watch the VeggieTales. You'll get it.
What's interesting about Jonah is, though, he's told this. Go tell them that... That shit's going down. And that's it. There's no, maybe they'll repent, I'll forgive them. Like, nothing. No, it's like, go tell them shit's going down in a couple of days.
And Jonah goes,
is that not right?
Okay.
I'm going this way. Get in the whale, spits out. Okay, right.
I have to do it.
Does it within seconds, like the shortest sermon ever.
Yeah.
All of the city.
It's like eight words.
The king,
yeah.
Without gospel, by the way.
No gospel. Like, you're all dying.
Almost like
in 40 days, Nineveh will be changed.
I think they're like this. They're like, we kind of knew we were stretching the limits.
Yeah, we knew. Somebody called us out on
this
it.
This makes sense, actually.
About time someone called us on our stuff.
Right. Yeah. They repent. God forgives, releases, does not punish. Jonah's mad.
And yet, listen, God was right.
What?
Because right? they're still changed. Right? Because the actual Hebrew says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be changed. And so Jonah goes out and preaches in 40 days, then it will be changed. And
I never ran out this way.
And they're like, going, whoa. And they do change. And they change, and God relents on his anger. But, you know, the sermon that I like to preach is that Jonah is angry. Like, he chastises God. This is the whole reason I ran from you in the first place, because you're a God that's merciful. And these
folks don't deserve it.
He says it.
They don't deserve the mercy. And he chastises God for his mercy.
The guy that ran away from God and jumped on a fish.
Right?
Yeah.
And I often use, I had a story in ministry early on where I had to go and...
In a whale.
I had to go in a whale. Yeah. Here's the honest truth. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a somebody when I grew up. And I didn't want to be a pastor. So... Now I'm a somebody and a pastor, so I guess it worked out okay. Thanks to you guys.
Okay.
I'm a somebody.
I like it.
As somebody once said to me, he's like, hey, you're Lutheran famous.
You're Lutheran famous.
I'm like, I don't think that's a thing.
That's
he's like, no, that's a thing. I'm like, I don't
hey,
think
we're number
that's
five
thing.
In Lithuania.
Cool. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, we are, sir.
So, anyways, early on in ministry, I had to go and sit with a mom who was with her infant baby who was dying because the dad had shaken the baby, threw it down. In a fit of rage.
Insane,
and so I sat with mom while we waited for baby to die. Sat there, baptized it, baby died. Next day, I had to go see dad in jail. And I don't want to go.
For this incident.
Like, he was in jail for shaking a baby, throwing it down, baby died. In jail.
That
murder.
Made you mad.
Right? I was mad. And at that point, I didn't have kids. I thought, how in the world could a person shake a baby? Right? And I was so mad.
You said before you had kids.
Once you have kids, you realize so quickly.
Wow. Like,
that's
kind of dark.
So you like set the baby down and you
honest.
Walk out of the room and you're like, you know what, I'm walking away. I'm going to come back when I'm calm.
Yeah. That's why you need two parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart parents, smart babies, living kids.
I had a dog growing up, so I get it.
You get it. So the next day I had to go.
That'll get more comments than anything.
Yeah. I had to go see that guy and I was not happy. I didn't want to see him. I thought he deserved a chair.
He does,
actually. Exactly.
He does deserve that.
Yep. Yeah. And so I went in there expecting to have to tell him how wrong he was for what he did. And, he broke down. Pastor, I'm so sorry. This is terrible.
Wow.
Confessed his anger.
That's not what you wanted.
What I wanted was him to not confess it so I could lay the law on him.
Really?
I wanted to just lay the law on him hard so that I could just keep him there. And he confessed. And I'm like, so I pull out my book, and I turn to the page in the Pastoral Care Companion, and I said, in this dead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all sins, and I Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I just kind of said it, because I was like, mentally, I didn't want to forgive this guy.
Right.
As a human being, I didn't want to forgive this guy, and yet that's what I was given to do, and I didn't want to do it because he didn't deserve the forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to preaching this text, I always think of that particular occasion, because that was where Jonah was, right? Those people don't deserve forgiveness. They're terrible sinners. They deserve every bit of God's wrath. Just like this guy, he shook his baby and killed it, deserves every bit of God's wrath. They don't deserve a bit of forgiveness, but that's not what God gave me to do. He gave me the task of proclaiming forgiveness to the people who confess their sins. And so that's what I did. And it was the... I can honestly say that I probably... That was the most half-assed confession and absolution I ever did, because,
What do you mean?
Well, so he confessed it. He was heartfelt in it.
Thank you.
And I just said the words, because for me...
You were still in
the
mood?
I was not in the mood
to forgive
that guy.
That's the word
of
God,
right?
Through the devil.
Yeah. So
you weren't there. You weren't emotional, but the word of God delivered forgiveness.
God did it, because it was in spite of me, because I wouldn't have forgiven him if it was me.
Yeah.
Like, if you sent Ross Engel to the room, Ross Engel's not forgiving that guy.
Yep.
But you didn't send Ross Sango, you sent your pastor.
That's a miracle. That's beautiful.
And that's what he's supposed to do. So
okay.
Yeah.
Let's all cry right now.
Right? So I told you, like, Jonah 3 is like, that one pulls at me because I'm like, man, I'm right there.
You know,
like,
you know that, oh, I was just thinking because I worked on this with craftofpreaching.com. Anyway, they which we are doing this thing with. But anyway, we worked on the gospel lesson, which is the you know, you'll become fishers of men. Mm. And I think that's the campaign, that's the gospel lesson. I think that same Sunday,
it is,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm a pastor. I know these things.
I wrote down my book so that I could look at it later because today's my day off.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm with you. Hold on. So,
no one respects. I literally had a comment. I'll say
a lot of people say that.
Someone literally said that bell gets me off. Like, they don't even know what the bell is for.
Yeah,
we got to get back
at some point.
The bell means we're supposed to move on.
Not today, because
you're speaking right now.
Not today, Satan.
Right. All right, let's do it.
So, but that the gospel lesson of I'll make you fishers of men is that one of the interesting things on that. Texas is we think of like fishing like we would fish, like a line fisherman,
yeah, yeah,
like where you're casting, like no, mm-hmm. they're casting a net,
mm-hmm.
to where
you have no idea,
like you don't know what you're getting. You might get nothing. You might get a lot. You might get some of this, some of that, and so there's this that same thing is that it's like. Again, it's not your job to decide.
Yeah,
you know how, like, I'm going to hit that spot and not that spot. It's like, no, you're the guy. You're just casting that. You cast it out there, and the
casting
the official, not those casting nets.
Sorry.
Thank you for the mercy bell.
Yes.
So in our society today, I'm hearing a lot of pastors that get wrapped up so hard politically, culturally, that they're coming close to giving up on culture, society, et cetera. Mm. Whether it's politically, I'm amazed, especially people that should know better, Lutheran pastors. Or culturally, and their language in social media, which means everybody's hearing this, not just a few people, is just closed off. No sense of, very anti-Jordan Peterson in the sense of no sense of, I understand evil.
Can't wait for his new book.
Yeah. So I think that Jonah just speaks, and you had a real story. I've not had like that where I don't want to tell someone they're forgiven. What would help you, I mean, to be in the moment, you're grossed out by the insanity of the situation. And I don't think anybody could really help that. Even though I think knowing you know you're a sinner. We tell you that all the time.
So you guys tell me all the time I'm a sinner.
All the time.
Having started to have issues,
but,
et cetera.
Needing grace. But I wonder if people are not... If every morning, I don't know if it's going to cure this, but every morning you're waking up saying, I'm the enemy of God, would help a little bit. You're the baby shaker in what you say, what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, in reality, when you see it like you did, I'm in no way saying I wouldn't be where you were.
Yeah.
But I think we need Jonah more than ever in the church.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at America falling apart, we're splitting sides, and we should be involved in government. We just talked about that. We should say, this is stupid, that's not stupid. At the same time, like, these are all stupid. Sinners and need Jesus. They're all stupid. You're all stupid. You need Jesus.
But there is that, we talked about this, I think our last podcast, where we, you know, about... You know, even America itself, kind of, are things like... What happened to the Capitol, you know, and with the certifying of the election, all that stuff, is to think that somehow that America is not us.
That's us. We're a bunch of whack jobs.
You know, and to see that, no, that is us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's who we are.
Hey, Ringside people. Apologize for suddenly
losing our power. We'll be back next couple days, 2 days in a row.
Yep.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So check out the schedule that's on the rings. All right, yeah. Check it out. We'll be doing some live stuff with some professors talking about what it's like to be a preacher, a pastor, a Christian while the world is ending, and it's going to be okay. We have an apology list here, though. We need to do that like we always do.
We do.
What do we got there, Tyler?
Yeah, so technical difficulties. Imagine that. Wouldn't be a Fort Wayne Symposium without technical difficulties, but we do have to apologize to some people.
The little lady that cranks the internet back there just kind of...
So, we would like to apologize to the following. Anyone who saw our pre-show, and I guess now our post-show, Fort Wayne Seminary, Jonathan Holmes, the professors at Fort Wayne, Alicia Engel, Buffalo Suit Guy, Ross Engel, the Marines, Republicans, QAnon, Communists, China, Russia, Donald Trump, people who joined the military because of Top Gun, Sean Connery's family, Tim Barquette, the Deep State, Cindy Koch, Julie Hess, Alicia Engel again, Scott Keith, Caleb Keith, Aristotle, Nancy Pelosi, Neil Postman, people who care too much about politics, people who don't care enough about politics. Good people with jacked up theology, the jagged word. Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, confirmation students, Ross's meme game, male cheerleaders, Ross's kids, issues, etc., Craft Preaching, 1517 Podcast Network, and anybody else that I missed, I guess.
All right. Thanks again for listening. You're awesome. We love you. We love you. Let's give a round of applause.
We love you.
Oh, yeah. Godspeed. Peace. We'll see you tomorrow. Listen to us on SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll hear this. As the trees disappear in your rearview mirror, the light of the moon and the shimmer of the stars doesn't shine. Yeah.